Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Well, if you look it up on the internet, you will see the definition of the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Yeah, okay, what does that mean? Well, the total is worth more than the sum of its parts. No, actually, what synergy is between humans in nature, it's what happens when we come together, we become exponentially more powerful. Yeah, and in a practical way, that means when we're working apart, we don't do nearly as much as we do when we're together. Because we are spiritual creatures, we do have a spiritual constitution, but also because we affect each other mentally and emotionally and physically. We have that constitution to have an effect. We have power over other people when we are with them, when we are around them. But you know what? Power comes with accountability. I've always said this on my show with my clients, even to my friends and family members. Do you know the power that you have? That's actually a responsibility. You have a responsibility to use that power in a good way. Well, okay, responsibility means you have to pay the consequences. That's the accountability for your choices, for your actions, for your behavior. There will be consequences in some way, and there will be a price that someone will pay. Yeah, do the right thing and step up to the plate. Assume accountability for what you have done and for who and what you are. And I also say there is no neutral energy. Our energy is very contagious. We have an effect before we even do anything. Just being around each other, when we are physically near each other, when we are in proximity mentally or emotionally to each other, and we have a relationship with each other and a connection, what we do is going to affect other people. It is either positive or negative energy. There is no absence of good or bad. In fact, when people say, well, I don't care, I'm indifferent, that is negative energy, simply because if it is not positive, if it is not making life and the people and the situation and the world that you are in, the situation that you are in, better, then it is by default making it worse. We need you. People need us to be positive and healthy and constructive. Now, you know what? If anybody has any questions, I'm going to be covering a lot of topics today. Please don't hesitate to reach out. You can call the station at 888-627-6008, but also feel free. I have my email in front of me open here for synergyrelationshipcoaching.bbsradio@gmail.com. Actually, that's the old one. Sorry. It's thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. So you can go ahead and call in the station, or you can also go ahead and send me a question. I'll keep refreshing to see if there's something that someone wants to ask, but they don't necessarily want to be heard in person on the radio, on the show. That's okay too. But again, just bear with me because I'm going to be going through a lot of different topics relative to a very important subject matter when it comes to your personal energy, when it comes to the synergy that you create. Now, I did a survey this week because there were some things that were going on in the, I guess you could call it, setting, the environment of the homeless shelter that I've been doing a lot of coaching work with the people that live there, because you know what? They can't afford me. They cannot afford to pay me as an individual client simply because my rates are a little bit steep. And if they don't have any income, they don't have any money really and truly, they still need the information that I can provide. Yeah, I can go ahead and help them out in a practical way to get themselves into a better situation. First of all, out of the shelter, but then also to improve the quality of their life. You know what? There were things that I saw happening. There were things that I heard, and it really made me think a little bit about what happened a few weeks ago. If you watched my show, heard my show, when I was talking to my daughter about social media, there were some things that really bothered me that I saw about Pearl Davis, this horrible person on YouTube who was saying and doing things literally to start fights between men and women. I saw some of those things being displayed in the shelter. So I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to ask some questions. And anybody in Phoenix, by the way, I asked a lot of people in a lot of places, everywhere from the coffee shops on the corner to the train that takes you anywhere from Gilbert up to North Phoenix, to the library, literally out in front of the library, people who were doing the political petitions. Yeah, you know what? I was just asking people their opinions about my questions, my concerns about social media. So I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to share the results with my listeners. And these are the questions that really, I just wanted to start off kind of basic, but then get to the heavier stuff. Once people were comfortable just answering their general opinion questions, they when really got broached the subject of men and women, that was my concern. So here were the questions. Have you ever heard of Pearl Davis? Then have you ever heard of Jordan Peterson? Then does social media make people more or less social in your opinion? Then has technology made people more open or more guarded? Then has feminism changed over the years? And finally, is egalitarianism realistic? Egalitarianism is just equality between men and women. Okay, so now here are the results and some of the things that came up in conversation as people were giving me their answers to the basically yes or no, more or less questions. Okay, so first of all, have you ever heard of Pearl Davis? I was so scared to ask this question just because my daughter was saying, you know what, she's getting a lot of hits on YouTube. I wanted to know how many of them were in the greater Phoenix area. Thank heavens, only 3% of people said yes. That means 97% of people have no idea of the garbage being spewn all over by this woman. Okay, the second question was, have you heard of Jordan Peterson? 15% said yes. 85% said no. So 5 times more people were aware of Jordan Peterson and the kinds of things that he talks about. But I figured, you know, that was still kind of a low number. Well, when it came down to their opinion, just their personal opinion, does social media make people more or less social? Now, I liked this question because 20% said more social, but 80% said less social. The actual theme that continued to present itself was, well, what is social? You know what? The people who said yes, social media, these websites where people go on and they have pseudo conversations and they banter back and forth and they post their opinions. Yeah, you know, it makes them more social. Well, only because they're saying things that maybe they're not substantive. They might not be very conversational. But if they weren't doing this, they wouldn't be doing anything at all. So at least something is better than nothing. Wow, you know what? Yeah, I suppose there's some validity to that. But most of the time, people were saying, no, people are using this as a substitute for genuine interaction, for valid interaction, looking at each other, feeling each other, coming together, hearing each other's voices when they're speaking, when you're talking about something from a distance in your bedroom, you're not hearing or seeing or feeling the person that you are with. Well, quote, with, unquote, a big part of the interaction is missing. And that means that more and more people are, you know what, preferring to have interaction without interacting. And that is what's making them antisocial. And then the next question, has technology made people more open or more guarded? Only 20% of people said more open. Substantively, well, you know what, for the same reason that we're talking about being social. 80% of people said more guarded because really when push comes to shove and they put their electronic devices down, they don't trust the people that they are looking at, that they are speaking directly to, that they are interacting with emotionally. There is a huge trust issue. And so the whole TMI, don't tell me things I don't want to know. Well, I'm not going to tell you things that, you know what, you might want to know. If there is an opportunity, if there are reasons for you to want to take something from me, to violate my trust, to hurt me, bottom line, hurt me in some way, I need to make sure I don't let that happen. Wow, that really made me sad that 80% of people, not necessarily about themselves, they don't necessarily feel that they have become more guarded, but they feel like the people around them have become that way. That was what made me truly sad. But then the next question, now that they were talking to me and really opening up about how they thought and felt about these topics, I said, do you think feminism has changed over the years? Now this was kind of fun because it was a lot closer. 40% of people said yes, 60% of people said no. I thought it would have been the other way around, that yeah, a lot of things have changed about feminism simply because the people who are now actively involved in it as a movement, well, they have a different mindset, they have a different value system. But really when it comes down to it, yeah, how's it changed over the, well, what is the motivation now? What is the intention of this particularly political agenda? How many people are saying women want different things than they wanted 50, 60, 70 years ago? The people who initially started, yeah, women, we're equal to men. We deserve the same things. We deserve good things. We deserve, okay, well, has that really maintained itself as the focus, as the genuine goal? No, a lot of people said, a lot of times we're just fighting. Women are just angry and they want more things. They want different things now than the women who started the movement wanted back then. And then the last question, is egalitarianism realistic? You know what? 25% of people said yes. 75% of people said no. Is it possible? Well, yeah, a lot of them believed that it was possible. Is it realistic? Not at this point in history, not in this particular place in the world, and not at this particular time in social media-based interaction, politically motivated, yeah, intentions setting. You know what? It is possible for men and women to be of the same value socially, to be just as important one as the other. But when we fight with each other a lot, and when we do not communicate with each other, we're undermining the health and happiness and success of each other, both genders, in exactly the same way, maybe for different reasons, but to the same degree. And that's when it came down to, okay, so what are we going to do about this? There's a lot of negative energy. And so again, I come back to the, what do you have going on inside of you? When you stop and take a look at yourself, think about it, really honestly, take an inventory of not only your thoughts, but your feelings about not only the opposite sex, but your own gender and how you work with or against other people. Again, there is no neutral energy. Now, if you have any thoughts or comments about this survey that I took, because again, it's not just one topic, it's not just one subject, there are a lot of issues that are involved in each question. The number to the station is 888-627-6008, or you can email me at thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Okay, so now what I put a post on a social media website. Now, this other social media website that I went to, it's for business. Basically, it was for the purpose of getting some exposure and finding other professionals that were of the same mindset, right? That potentially had the same goal in their business, in their work, in their professional pursuits. Well, it took me about 5 years to get 15,000 followers or colleagues, we'll say, on this other website. I got 10,000 views to one question that I answered, people were very interested in what I said. And that just blew me out of the water. The question was, why do men suddenly lose interest in women after they had sex with them? And I said, because there are no clear-cut definitions or standards. That's selfish. Women are not like men. You know what? If a woman really and truly does want to have relations with a man without establishing before that happens what both of their individual goals are within that experience, ultimately in a relationship, what their priorities are before they sleep together, what do you expect? Of course, if a man basically is interested sexually in a woman and a woman gives him that gratification and that relief that he needed, why in the world would he continue to pursue a relationship? How many people really want a relationship? How many people just want to have fun and they want to see, well, you know, maybe at some point I might like the person that I slept with. Well, okay. And maybe at some point I might want to commit to the person that I like. Okay. So women aren't bad people. Men aren't bad people. They're just going to do what they are inclined or to have a tendency to do. If you're expecting more than that without communicating in the beginning, you are being selfish, and that's not fair to the person that you're with. They have a right to know up front what your needs and thoughts and feelings and expectations are. Again, that goes back to communication. How much of our lack of communication is simply because the methods that we use to communicate through our electronic devices do not afford us that same openness and that same opportunity to fully disclose all of our thoughts and feelings? Well, we just don't have that opportunity. Again, and I like to tell people this breakdown of how we think, right? The pace, the rate of our thoughts, about 200 words a minute. Well, when we're talking, speaking with our mouths, we say about 180 of those thought-related words. Okay, we only hear between 150 and 160 words that were said of the 180. We read on a good day, maybe 80 to 100 words. If we're skimming, we can catch maybe 80 of them. Yeah, we can type maybe 60 if we're really good. We text 20 to 30. Okay, so how much, if you're thinking at a rate of about 200 words a minute, and you're really only conveying with your fingers about 20 to 30 of them, how much is a person truly going to learn about you, and how much are they going to accurately understand? Because again, even in court, they say you have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Otherwise, it's perjury. It is essentially a lie, because something vitally important to that other person might have been left out. Out of malice? No, not at all. Simply because in a pragmatic way, we cannot do with technology what we can do when we come together. We are losing out the synergy. And the other important thing to remember is that without the intonation, inflection, sense, stress, modulation of our voice, they won't even know what we mean with those words. Two words that I like to tell people are, would you? Okay, those are just two words. Let's say if you put a text question mark after the words, would you? What does that mean? Well, it means you're asking if a person would do something. Okay, but let's say it three different ways. There's would you, which actually means I'm validating what I said because I'm making you question what you would do. Okay, saying, you know what, I'm right and don't challenge me because you wouldn't do it either. Then there's the would you, which is, you know what, I don't trust you as a person, and I'm saying it in a way that's sarcastic, and would you? I'm basically saying I don't trust you. I think you're a liar, and we have a bigger issue going on. And then there's, would you? Which is, wow, I'm pleasantly surprised, and it means a lot to me that you would be willing to be a good person in my life. Wow, that means a lot to me. Oh my God, those are three completely different things. When you are putting something in electronic correspondence, you do not have the opportunity to include that part of the conversation. That is the most important part of the conversation, because it leads to the next part, which is, let's talk about what you just said, because this is what it means to me. And I need to make sure that we're on the same page, even if we agree to disagree. You know what? That's really important in a relationship, because we are going to continue to relate to each other. Now, one of the things that I also want to preface the rest of the show by saying is that women are not like men. We have forgotten how to be women in a lot of ways, simply because we're trying so hard to prove that we're equal to men. But one of the things that this woman, Pearl Davis, did that just blew me out of the water was she actually made women, and continues to make women, feel bad for being women. Now, just because we are not equal in the sense that we're not the same, we still are just as valuable to each other. So for the rest of the show, I'm going to be talking about when we communicate with each other, our thoughts and feelings before we come together are either going to make the situation better or worse. Again, because there is no neutral energy. And what we say and what we do is very powerful. We are responsible for the decisions that we make in the way we wield our social and emotional power. And we are accountable for the responsibility that we assume when we make choices that affect other people. Now, again, it's not about equality, because value, human value, is not something you can quantify. We are different. Apples and oranges. Yeah. Or plants and animals. Who's more important, the plant or the animal? Don't do that. You can't do that with each other. We can't do that with ourselves, because we nullify our value when we try to put ourselves into a context that simply is not practical. It's not realistic. Now, I love the fact that as a woman in the Bible, we get a chapter of our job description. I love talking about how fabulous women are, because we do have the ability to do so many different things, but also be different things. Men are very simple creatures. Quantifiably, they may do certain things to a greater capacity or to a greater degree or with more intensity than women, but we just do more things than men. Let me go ahead, pull this up without going like to a preacher level. There are some things that are mentioned that I'm actually going to, you know, before I go into that, let me just say, there was a gentleman that I spoke to at the shelter, and I said, let me ask you this. And I read the entire job description of a woman to him, and he said, wow, that is pretty demanding. And I said, so do you think it's unreal that a woman can do this? And he said, well, I would never ask a woman to do that much. I said, oh, I can find you some feminists that would just fight with you over that, because we are very capable of doing all of these things. And again, if you have any questions, I don't see anything from my email, but the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Okay, here we go. Okay. So keep in mind that, again, communication is always the determining factor for success. Okay. And quality over quantity. One of the things that I like is that it says she knows how to communicate effectively, because she can disagree with someone, like her husband, and successfully still carry out whatever job or assignment she has been entrusted with. And that means she is very aware of time management. A good woman knows how to evaluate how long something will take and manage those things by multitasking. Ladies, we all know that we're able to multitask. I actually had lunch the other day with a plumber over at Taco Bell, and he said, "Yeah, you know what? I'm a great plumber. I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do that, but I got to do them one at a time. My wife can do 10 things at once." I said, "See, because the synapses in our brain, we have quantifiably the same number of synapses. We women, just go from one hemisphere to the other, back and forth, back and forth. Men have pretty much all the brain activity in one part of the brain at a time. So who's better? Who's more important?" Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so she's good at time management, but she's also good at money management. She knows how to manage her money in a way that she can obtain things of high quality without missing out on the things that are vital to the basic fundamental activities in life. Then she's also good at people management. She knows how to get different family members to work together and different people outside of the family to support whatever she's doing in order for the things that go on in her home to carry out, to be carried out with success. Then she has personal care as her priority. She knows how to take care of herself to keep herself in a high quality state. Now, part of the money management and people management in the next verse is about how she can negotiate. She can go toe to toe with businessmen and basically create her own product, but also sell her product for the price that it really is worth. And she's confident enough to take that to the table as an independent contractor. The next one is she's very mindful and she's aware even when the sun goes down and everyone is asleep, and she's even asleep getting the personal care that she needs to restore her strength and energy. She still has an awareness, a mindfulness of not only the people in her home, but of their needs. Then she's good at conflict resolution. She's a great mediator. She can go into any situation and say, "Okay, let's take a look at what this is. What are the factors? What are the elements? What needs to be addressed? There's a topic, there's an issue, there's a problem. Let's identify the source, then the cause, then the effect, so that we can all come to the same place. Even if it's a difference in opinion, we can still have a unity of mind." Wow, that's pretty good. Okay. And then there's preparation. She knows how to prepare and to obtain equipment that are needed, that are vitally important to whatever that situation is. The next verse is talking about strategy. She has an ability to make those changes in the moment, from moment to moment, even though she has a plan before the event actually occurs. She can get that strategy changing, modified as the events unfold. Then she has a good sense of humor, a joy of heart. She can actually bring good, healthy, positive energy into a situation that is very healthy. And I've always said, I love that laughter, you get four hormones, the beautiful hormones. It's dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. And the great thing about laughter and joy of heart is that when we're talking about dopamine and oxytocin, those are very relaxing hormones and cathartic. But you know what? Endorphins, they give you energy. How great is it that you can be relaxed and energetic at the same time? Next part is about her flexibility along with her endurance. She has the ability to move in ways that people around her need for her to move. That's another one of the ways that she can get things done. She's generous without being foolish. She's not a sucker because she has wisdom. And next part is she has learning throughout her life. Learning through life experience is what gives her wisdom. And she obtains the skill through practice. She has precision of execution in the way that she gets things done. But you know what? A very important part of that in one of the verses is she can sacrifice without harming herself. She still takes excellent care of herself. She has social standards that are not negotiable. She knows how to behave like a strong and respectable and respectful woman. And she rewards her husband and her family with her hard work their whole life. It never goes down with age. That is amazing. That is a true woman. Okay, you know what? And now these are the things that I can say, well, yeah, you can go ahead and do these. Easier said than done, right? Well, one lady was telling me as we were standing in line, the line was moving kind of slow. She just decided to share with me something that was very personal in her life she was going through. The man that she loved very much had left her. And she was in a lot of pain. And she was telling me all of the things that happened in their relationship and how it was really painful for her. And she kept going back to, you know, I did this for him and I did that for him and I did it this way and I did this way and I did it. And she was itemizing all the things she did. A lot of them were the things that I just specified. Do you know what? It kept also going back to, and I was so hurt and I was so angry and I screamed at him and I swore at him. So it came back to, okay, honey, you know what? The very, very low quality, the low quality didn't compensate. You weren't compensated by the high quantity of the things that you did, because the badness that you constantly brought to him emotionally and mentally was basically what canceled out all of the high quantity of different activities that you did. He didn't want to be with you because being around you made his heart suffer and his mind shut down. So his body simply went somewhere else. And then I thought, okay, you know what? I want to make this kind of into a metaphor that really represents the principles. Again, if someone wants to call in and ask me a question about the things that I'm going to say, there's going to be some pretty deep and pretty complex things that I'm going to try and simplify. It's 888-627-6008 if you have any questions or comments. Even comments are welcome. Okay, so I thought about it in terms of a cow metaphor, meat. You know what? Something every man can understand. It's meat, good quality. Okay, so I actually did a search here. Okay. Yeah. And her life revolved around her man, but I was trying to explain she was never going to get, give better to a man than what she was before and without him. She kept giving more and more and more, but didn't understand why it wasn't enough. Now, when you think about it in terms of meat, beef is graded in two ways. Quality grades for tenderness, juiciness, and flavor, and yield grade for the amount of usable meat on the carcass. Now, from a consumer standpoint, what do these quality beef grades mean? Okay, prime beef, there are four different quality grades. The prime is produced from young, well-fed beef cattle. It has abundant marbling. Apparently, the amount of fat interspersed with lean meat. It's sold in restaurants and hotels. Prime roasts and steaks are excellent because dry heat cooking like broiling or roasting or grilling yields an amazing flavor. The next one is choice beef. It's high quality but has less marbling than prime, the best kind. Choice roasts and steaks from the loin and rib are very tender and juicy and flavorful, and they're suited for dry heat cooking as well. But many of the less tender cuts can also be cooked with dry heat as long as they're not overcooked, because those will be the most tender when they're braised or roasted or simmered with a small amount of liquid in a tightly covered pan. Now, select beef, which is not prime and it's not choice, next grade is select beef, is uniform in quality and normally leaner than the higher grades. It's fairly tender, but because it has even less marbling, it may lack some of the juiciness and flavor of the higher grades like choice and prime. Only the tender cuts should be cooked with dry heat. Other cuts need to be marinated before they're cooked or braised to obtain the maximum tenderness or flavor. They need that additional work. Standard and commercial grades of beef, which is the lowest quality, they're frequently sold as ungraded or as store brand meat. Utility, cutter, and canner grades of beef are seldom, if ever, sold at retail, but they're used to make things like ground beef and processed beef products. Okay, you know what, ladies? We need to be high quality meat. How can we get ourselves to the prime cut, the prime quality of meat when we have, as women, we have a constitution of mentally, emotionally, and physically. Forget the man. Just look at yourself. Are you high quality as a woman in the way that you think and the way that you feel, the way that you behave, the way that you speak? If you are a high quality woman, you will have something wonderful to offer. If you just keep giving more and more and more and more of a low quality thought, feeling, speech, behavior, that's not going to make up. The quantity isn't going to make up for a low quality. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know what? Think about how what really gets an animal into a high quality state. Well, we have our thoughts, we have our feelings, we have our actions, we have our words. Our thoughts are actually what we feed our soul. Now, think of it if we were talking about an organic beef, right? A cow that was actually well fed. They were able to eat grass, not product, packaged product from a trough that they would just go to and be given their daily portions. When they have something natural and of a high quality that they're giving themselves, the quality of the meat that they have is exponentially better. So when we think about it, our thoughts really are the source of what the next part is, our feelings. Well, you know what? The feelings are like the activity. When we're talking about an animal that's able to freely move, to have their space, the open space, that's much better, and it makes the quality of that animal higher. When they are confined in an area where they're basically just raised to be killed, the quality of the meat generally goes down. So if our thoughts are creating our feelings, what we're telling ourselves and what we're allowing ourselves to be is making us a high quality woman. Well, you know what? The meat is what we do. We are going to manifest our feelings that were created by our thoughts. If we are high quality, we are prime quality meat as a soul, then we are going to be something that, you know what, we can say to men and women, people in our lives, you know what? I'm a high quality soul. I don't need to give a high quantity of anything because the low quantity of things do and give to other people are going to be still satisfying to them because it is so high quality. But you know what? Most important when we're talking about the good quality of what we do, I always like to say that what we say is like our seasoning and our preparation. You can get a great piece of meat, but you know what? When you season it with good words and when you prepare it in a tasteful way and you deliver it in that really appealing way, sometimes people say, well, I can say good things, but you know what? Good seasoning, good style, preparation, all that stuff isn't going to hide a low quality for very long. So you really do still need to be a good soul before you season things with your words and the delivery of how people consume you. You know what? It's important to also remember what you are is based on your personal care. You do deserve to have that consideration for yourself, because it is going to be what you share with other people. Do you believe that? Take an inventory. How much of what you say and do for yourself, to yourself, with yourself, by yourself is high quality? You know what? That really might be tough for you to know, just, you know, without taking the time to examine that. And again, it is worth the time because that way you'll know what you need to do better for yourself. Okay, now when we're talking about foolproof secrets that are the key to success as a woman, especially as a high quality soul, taking care of yourself and keeping the interaction that you have, again, as a high quality interaction direct with people, being for and to and around people that are the interactions that are legitimately substantive, important, not only to that other person, but to you. Some things that I like to tell people, learn your true nature. Yeah, as a coach, I like to give people the personality profile before we do anything else, before I give them help and support and advice on how to be more successful in life as a coach, what I tell them is find out what success is for your personality. It's vitally important for you to know yourself, because people are going to come to you and say, I want to help you. I want to be a good part of your life. I want to make the quality of your life better. What do you need from me? If you know who you are, you can honestly say to someone, yeah, you know what? I appreciate your interest and your willingness. This is specifically what I need. That is going to make the quality of their life better, because the gift of acceptance is one of the most precious things that we can share with another person. Yeah, we eat a really gross thing that a child made for us that they gave to us. Why? Because when we accept an expression of love from someone else, we are giving to that person as much as they are giving to us, if not more. Then keep yourself centered. Learn how to keep yourself centered. Find where that internal balance is, because balance is about managing things around us, but externally, but being centered is about keeping what's going on inside of us balanced, which then comes back to the principle of giving. Give more than you take. Do you know how much you genuinely need to take from other people, from other things? Maybe not as much as you think. And if you're aware of other people and what they need, and you have a good, healthy, positive attitude when you're giving to people, that's creating the good energy that will continue to propel when the synergy that you create with other people extends to your environment, to the other people in your environment, as well as the nature that is absorbing your energy at all times. Okay, now, ready, willing, and able. Well, those are good things, but how about ready, willing, and available? Now, think about this again, just in a practical way. How much of our lifestyle, our current modern day world lifestyle, affords us the opportunity to be available? How much do you want to help people, but you literally, really and truly cannot give them what they need because you're busy doing something else? How much of what you do is vitally important to be done, and how much of it is simply just because that's the way your lifestyle is currently set up? How much can you change what you do, perhaps even eliminate what you do, and make those sacrifices, those compromises to make yourself available? Yeah, you're able, absolutely able, because again, the human constitution is amazing what we are capable of doing. And if we don't know how to do something, you know what? Learn it, practice it. You can probably do it a lot better and a lot faster than you think if you really put some attentive practice to that. But if you're not available, what good is it? And how many of the things in your life are just a distraction? Okay, you know what? We as women, especially, our constitution is not about doing more and more and more and more and better and better and better. It's about doing high quality things so we don't have to do an excessive amount, a large quantity of them. Okay, now the things that I really like to tell people are understand what the struggles that you have consist of. There are going to be things in life that will just feel like stumbling blocks. Well, you need to learn how to turn them into stepping stones in your life without people first, so that you will be more ready and willing and able, yes, available to do those things with other people. Do you understand what the topic is, what the issue is, and what the problem is? Well, that conceptually is, what's the source? What's the cause? What's the effect?
if you know that there are just negative elements in your life, that could be including destructive people. One of the things that I told the ladies that came to my coaching classes at the library, I said, you have to be very selective about the people that you allow into your life. But if you get yourself into a high quality state, low quality people are not going to want to be around you. Toxic people will be propelled by your positive energy, by your high quality standards for yourself, simply because your positive energy will conquer their negative energy. If you are truly healthy, you will have the ability to look at these negative people and say, I want to be good for you. I want to be good in your life. Where in your life can I provide that high quality goodness? You know what? That's going to do one of two things. That's either going to make them really change the way that they see not only the situation, but you, and say, wow, okay, let me actually take you up on that offer. Or it's going to say no. The person's going to say, no, I want my life to continue to be in a toxic state, and you are not allowing that to happen. I'm leaving you. You can say, okay, whenever you're ready to come back, if you ever want to be in my life, or if you ever want me to be in your life, I'm here. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm available, not just able. Okay, but then when you have someone say, you know what, yeah, I want to make the situation better, but I don't know what the problem is, and I certainly don't know what the solution is, that affords you the opportunity to communicate with each other. And if you're open-minded enough to say, this is what I need, what can you help me with? Or, you know what, I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but this is what I want. You know what, that's very disarming. And people can say to you, I appreciate that you told me that. And I'm not going to judge you, because I appreciate that that was hard for you. And the fact that you were still willing to do it, even though it was hard, means that you trust me. Wow. How important is trust in a relationship? You know what? Then the problem really reduces, because the perspective of what that is relative to everything else, you know what? It's a detail. It's a fact. And we're very smart people. We have the ability to look at something from different angles, and we can even discuss things and ask ourselves questions and say, okay, so this was not really the problem. It was something else. There was something inside of me that brought up that had absolutely nothing to do with the situation that set me off in the first place. Wow. Our cooperation, not competition, with other people is our synergy. That is the foundation for what will be the positive action that we take together to create success. Now, one of the most important things, again, is trust. And if that is something that you know you struggle with, simply because the world that we live in is forcing us to be suspicious of each other and critical of each other and judgmental of each other, think about the trust that comes from surrender and vulnerability. If we are really and truly vulnerable and we surrender to a degree, you can't do it just completely overnight, but slowly affording yourself the opportunity to think of people in a good way, you have that opportunity to say, I want to give you the opportunity to be something good in my life, not something bad. It hurts my heart literally when people in, excuse me, in places like these shelters, the people who are running the establishment come into the room when there are women who are very vulnerable and they are scared and they want help, but they don't want to ask for it and they don't want to accept it. These people running the show come into the room and say, not only do I not care about you, but I hope you get hurt. What do you think that does to them? I literally had to go to the women in that room and calm them down, because they were so upset. this is what she said, because there's a table where you can actually put your phones and the women want to plug their phones in. I don't even know what her job title was. Anyway, the woman who was supervising the room said, "I don't know who put their phone here, but I just want you to know that if I'm here and your phone gets stolen, I don't care. It is not my problem. And if you leave your phone here and you do not supervise your phone, you have basically you deserve to lose your phone. And don't you come crying to me. And it is not my fault." She literally repeated 4 times that not only does she not care if our phone is stolen, but we better not come to her and ask her to care, because it's our own fault and we deserve to have our phone stolen. Okay, thank you for telling me that you don't care about my happiness. And thank you for telling me that there's a part of you that wishes that I suffer and hopes I suffer. What in the hell is that doing to me? And what good is that for us as a group? Because now it is propelling that suspicion and that defensiveness and that anxiety about not being able to trust the people that we're with. These are not bad women. They are not evil, and they are not out to hurt each other. They're already very scared. What we need to do is come together and say, "You know what? I appreciate the fact that I can trust you. You are an important person in my life, and I'm vulnerable right now. I still appreciate the fact that you're not going to hurt me when I'm vulnerable." That is the positive quality energy that we can propel, that we can generate, we can support each other. That's going to be the key to our success, not only individually as women, as men and women when we come together, but as a society as a whole. One of the most important things for me as a little girl was my father. He tickled me a lot. When I laughed, when I looked up at him, and he had all of the power, he had all of the strength. And when you laugh and when you are being tickled, you have absolutely no physical strength whatsoever. That was a very important time for me to be able to trust him. But that laughter was a very good quality experience for my biochemistry. Laugh more, do things, appreciate things with people that create laughter, to generate those good feelings inside of your heart. Now, again, as I'm closing the show down today, the things that I say in principle, the simple principles are not easy. Easy is not the same thing as simple. In fact, the more simple something is, the more challenging it can be. But the question is, this is a question that I ask my clients and the people in the shelter that I coach and that I help. Do you want to do the work? Do you feel a responsibility to earn the things that you are asking for? For any of my listeners today, if you have any thoughts, questions, or concerns, again, go ahead and send me an email, thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. But I'm also doing some classes. I'm holding classes now. I actually created another workbook for the homeless shelter residents, for a different kind of syllabus than the people that I would have just coming to my building or a library for the regular class. It's specifically for the challenges that they face as homeless people. If you're interested in supporting the homeless shelter and the campaign that I have for coaching them, you can make a contribution to the GoFundMe campaign. It's homeless shelter victims. You'll see my name and my picture there. I really would appreciate anybody who's willing to buy a workbook for the people that come into the class. They can keep that workbook as part of the coaching program that I will give them. And it's very important for when you see the things that are going on around you to have that positive energy, especially people in Phoenix right now. We're doing a sort of a lawsuit against the homeless shelter. There's CAS and there's HSE. If you would like to make that donation to tell the people that live there, yeah, the things that are going on, they break the law. I support your willingness to take a stand, because a lot of the people that live there, they don't want to take a stand. They are afraid that things are going to happen if they take the steps to do the right thing. So also make the comments to them and the encouraging words to give them that extra support in taking a stand to do the right thing. That's another way that we create good synergy. Telling each other, I believe in you and I support the changes that you are making for the world to improve. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona.